Am I on? Hello? Kilda. Oh, we're on now. Sweet. That's good. Kilda found it. Oh my goodness. I've been depressed as of last night. The Warriors. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't have to speak much. Once we're Warriors, anyways. Once we're Warriors. So, today, I've got the unknown privilege of sharing from the book of Acts. And I know Mick's quite precious with the book of Acts. I mean, he's been through it so many times. It's taking a long time to go through it. But he's given me a passage. And let's read it out and see what we think, eh? It's chapter 8, Acts 8, 26 to 40. So here it goes, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Itosis, and then travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So, that's the passage we're reading today, and let's just pray, to begin off with. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are Lord and Saviour. And honestly, I can't really think of anyone being better to call Lord and Saviour. Jesus, today, teach us, what does it mean to follow you? And what does it mean to, bring the good news to our world here today, Lord? And as we follow you, guide us, and may we become a people who build your kingdom here today. And everybody said, amen. So, I don't really know, but have you guys ever mistaken someone for someone else before? Yes, okay, of course by accident, not on purpose. Yeah, that's me. I did it the other day. So what I was doing, I was walking through Manukau Mall, and I bumped into someone. I was like, hey, I know that fella. So then I approached him, and I was like, hey, Sam, how are you? And this person was Sam, okay? So we exchanged pleasantries, I haven't seen him in years. And then all of a sudden, my memory started kicking in and said, actually, I know some things about Sam. So I said, hey, Sam, how's your baby boy? He must have grown up since the last time I saw him. And he looks at me and goes, Wilson, I don't have a son. And at that moment, I was like, wow, that's pretty awkward. I normally get myself in those situations by accident, of course. And truth be told, I nearly mixed up Philip in this passage. I thought, this Philip that we're talking about today, was one of the original disciples, but he's not. This Philip, he was one of the seven men selected to deal with the situation Mick talked about the conflict. And he was a Hellenistic Jew, which means that he spoke Greek. So this is the Philip that we're talking about. And Glenn was talking about the same Philip 2 weeks ago. Luckily that I heard the sermons beforehand, otherwise it would have been quite awkward if I mixed the Philips up. I don't think I'll be standing up here ever again if I did that. So I guess that's good. So this is the Philip in the passage. We got that on lock. So no more confusion, no more mix-ups. So the story goes, you know, this Philip guy, you know, was called to go south on the desert road that reaches from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this road, this desert road, you know, it is nothing but hot, barren land. And this road was hardly ever traveled during the day. So he's traveling on this road, but Philip, he is not the only one on the road. There's another person, and this person is an Ethiopian eunuch. And in the period that takes place in the story, you know, Ethiopia was the land referred to the was the land referred south of Egypt. So that was Ethiopia back then. And this man is a eunuch, meaning that, you know, he's castrated, dismembered, neutered, got the chop down there. You guys, we're on the same page, good. And in this era, you know, eunuchs, you know, they normally looked after this thing called the harem. Oh, I think I pronounced it harem or something. And this was the forbidden place. Generally, this was the king's or the royal palace's, the king's or the women's quarters in the royal palace. And what they did was that they looked after these women. Regardless of this man's status as a eunuch, you know, this eunuch was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen. And it is not surprising that eunuchs actually held high positions in the government or in the kingdom. You know, becoming a eunuch could have been a criteria to be part of this, or to have this high position, but we're not really told of how he actually got it, so a bit of a mystery. But all we know is that this eunuch, you know, he's an important official in charge of all the treasury in Ethiopia. And also you could tell, you know, this eunuch was, you know, quite high up there. I mean, this guy was traveling in style, he was traveling in a chariot. And, you know, back in those days, you know, the chariot was the Mercedes-Benz, it was the Beamer back then, you know. To travel in a chariot meant that you had class. You know, not everyone could afford to have a chariot. I mean, or even run a chariot. You know, to run a chariot, you got to have an ox pulling the chariot. You know, but what happens if you're traveling on that road and the chariot breaks? So you got to have someone to fix the chariot. And remember, this man, you know, he's traveling from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. So it is a long travel. You know, what about foods and snacks for the trip? You know, who's going to look after that? Not him, because he's important. And what about bodyguards? I mean, these desert roads, they're crawling with thieves, you know. He's got to have a bit of protection. So this important Ethiopian eunuch, you know, he had an entourage with him as well. And that goes with the chariot. So the story goes, you know, Philip got told by this angel of the Lord to go on the road of Gaza, this desert road. And there's this other guy, an Ethiopian eunuch, you know, traveling back from his worship in Jerusalem. And this kind of means that, you know, this guy had some sort of idea of God. Or maybe he simply went to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the great pilgrim festivals in this time, in this era. You know, this was the Passover, the Pentecost, or the Tabernacles. And, you know, these were great festivals, you know, and people all over this area would travel to Jerusalem to partake in these festivals. And it's a bit like in today's era, you know, how people travel to Mardi Gras, La Tomatia, Oktoberfest, World Cups, and the Olympic Games, you know. This was how big this festival was back in the old days. So Philip was on this desert road, and this eunuch and his entourage were traveling back from Jerusalem. The Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. You know, this was a weird point I picked up when I was first reading this passage. I was like, this person heard the man reading. I mean, how the heck do you do that? Hear a man reading. And at first, you know, I thought that Philip was a mind reader. I was like, wow, this guy's amazing. But then, you know, I was researching back in this era, and I found out that, you know, scrolls, they didn't have books, they had scrolls. They were very expensive, and they were prepared by hand. And there were not much scrolls around back then. So the eunuch had a scroll, meaning that, you know, he's high and mighty, classy. And these scrolls were actually kept in the temples, libraries, or universities. And reading was mainly done communally. For example, people, when they first read Paul's letter, they would have gathered around as a community and would have listened. So that's why reading was done out loud in the, as a community. And also reading out loud was the norm, even for individuals, because back then, text, there were no word divisions or punctuation. There were no word divisions or punctuation. And reading out loud actually made it easier to actually read out the text. And it's a bit like us, you know, when we're reading something in our minds, and then a tricky sentence comes up. And one of those sentences, we're like, huh, what's this sentence talking about? Automatically, we actually read that out loud. I don't know if you guys notice. Or when we come across a new word, you know, we actually sound the new word out. Like when I was little, like I used to sound out this word, knife. I used to be like, kuh, kuh, but that's silent. So what I'm trying to point out is that, you know, when you're reading out loud, it actually helps. Especially if there are no full stops, commas, or word divisions. So Philip did hear the eunuch read. And as Philip heard the eunuch read, Isaiah, Philip asked the eunuch a question. Do you understand what you are reading? The eunuch replied, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip up to come up and sit with him. Then as we continue on the scripture, you know, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And the scripture, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? This scripture was really, really puzzling for the Jews themselves. They did not think that this scripture actually talked about Jesus. They did not think that this was speaking of the Messiah. They actually dreamed about the Messiah, you know, coming in triumph, power and glory to come, conquer, and overthrow the oppressors of the Jews. But yet, this very scripture, as we know today, you know, it actually describes what Jesus went through. You know, that the Jews, they did not understand that Jesus came with a different power, a power called love. You know, Jesus came to love and teach people how to love. And actually, when you look at the history, this power called love, it actually overthrew the Roman Empire. So as we jump back into the scenario, you know, Philip explained the truth about Jesus. He talked about how Jesus went through undeserved suffering and the ugliest unjust death. And how Jesus continued to love even he was up on the cross, you know, and he broke the cycle of sin. That Jesus overcame the consequence of sin, death, and he came back alive. And he is alive today to show that through him, that through his way of love, he defeated sin. And now today, we don't have to face the ultimate result of sin, and that is death. And we do that by accepting that Jesus Christ died for our sin. That we can live a new way of love. Where love doesn't hurt people no more, cause any suffering. Where love produces a new way of living that brings life. And this is the gospel that we preach about. This is the gospel that we live out. This is the kingdom ruled by the power of love. And that love will bring an end to all brokenness here today on earth. But it's our choice whether we live this kingdom of love or remain in brokenness. So pretty much Philip would explain that, but kind of back then, I don't know how he did it. So as they travel along the road, you know, as we continue with the story, you know, they came across some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water. what can stand in my way of being baptized? And pretty much what happened was Philip baptized him and then disappeared. So that's pretty much the scenario that we're talking about today. That is the scripture. That is the context. And honestly, this bit of scripture actually has a lot of good stuff. It has a lot of information. There's so much to share about this. But there's only one thing that I really want to talk about here today. And Fiona, could you flip the screen? And today I want to talk about the idea of stepping out. I believe that stepping out is a big part of being a disciple. And stepping out is actually where I believe the gospel happens. I drew those by myself, just letting you guys know. All right. You know, Philip, you know, he was a Hellenistic Jew, meaning that he's a Greek-speaking Jew, you know, meaning that he was raised outside of Palestine. And during that time, you know, there was no need to learn Hebrew, as Greek was spoken throughout the Roman Empire in this area, and Hebrew was only reserved for Palestine. You know, the Greek-speaking Jews, you know, these Jews, they were actually looked down by the Jews who spoke Hebrew, the ones raised in Palestine. You know, the Hebrews, Jews, they actually differentiated themselves from those Greek-speaking Jews. Philip, he was probably looked down by these Hebrew Jews because of where he was born, the culture and the background that he was brought up in, and the language he spoke. You know, these are the stereotype, the past and the stories that define them. And I believe that sometimes we let our stories, we let our stereotypes, we let the past define us. And these things, they make us feel that we're not qualified to preach or live the gospel. Let me tell you right here, right now, that no matter what culture you're from, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you're born, no matter what background you grew up in, no matter what ethnic race you are, no matter what class you are qualified to preach the gospel. What qualifies us is that we know that Jesus loves us and he calls us to love people. You know, we have to step out of the stories and things that define us to preach the gospel. You know, I didn't let my background of my gang stories from living the gospel. You know, Mick didn't let his hippie culture to stop him from living the gospel. You know, Philip didn't let his underclass background stop him from preaching the gospel. You know, we can't let our stories stop us from living and preaching the gospel. Because we live in a broken world, and there are hurting people out there who need to know that Jesus loves them, and they need to be loved. Can you flip the string? Oh, the other one. Yes. No. Oh my goodness, technology. Yes. You know, as we step out, that's where the gospel happens. You know, Philip stepped out of his story to preach the gospel to the eunuch. And I guess the question is, are you willing to step out of the things that define you, to step out of your story, to step out of your past, to preach and live the gospel? In the story, you know, Philip encounters an Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch is Ethiopian, meaning that he is a different race. The eunuch is a powerful official, meaning that he was a different class. And the man is a eunuch, meaning that he had different stories, he had a different background. And imagine being Philip. Imagine being told to go to the desert, and you happen to find an Ethiopian eunuch with his entourage and traveling in his chariot. Imagine seeing all of that go past, and then all of a sudden, you are told by the Spirit of God to go up to the chariot. You know, just pause there for a second. Now, in that moment, just imagine the feelings that you have. You know, is it scary, awkward, risky? Imagine the scariness approaching the chariot. Imagine the awkwardness going near the chariot. Imagine how risky this will be. I can guarantee you that Philip, in this moment, he would have felt that way too. You know, these are genuine feelings. The thing is that sometimes we let these feelings control our actions. When things get a little bit risky, we pull back. When things get a little bit awkward, we leave the situation. You know, we cannot bear the thought of being uncomfortable. We actually try to avoid these moments. I think we're afraid of stepping out of our comfort zones. Fiona, can you flip the screen? On the screen, this is a model. This model is used in adventure-based learning. Youth workers have actually stolen this model. A lot of my activities are based on stepping out of the comfort zone. Inside the circle, that is the comfort zone, as you guys can see. The idea of this model is that people grow and transform when they step out of the comfort zone. And all of us, we have a comfort zone where things are safe, known, familiar, secure, comfortable, predictable. The fear is that when you step out of your comfort zone, you are challenged with the unknown, the unfamiliar, the unexpected, the unpredictable, the awkward, the uncomfortable. You're challenged with risk. And the fear is that as you rise up to challenge and work through the awkwardness and the uncomfortable feelings, you begin to develop, grow, and transform from these unknown and unfamiliar experiences. I can guarantee you that when you follow Jesus, you're going to have to step out of that comfort zone. You know, we're called to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations, all cultures, all backgrounds. And I can guarantee you that there will be awkward and uncomfortable moments. You know, Philip, he was willing to step out of his comfort zone as he approached the chariot. Philip was willing because he knew that the gospel is more than just a Jewish concern, that the gospel doesn't care about social standings, that the gospel looks past your background and your circumstances. And he knew that the gospel is about Jesus, that Jesus loves all people, and that Jesus loves himself. And he knew that the gospel is for everyone. And I believe we know this too. Can you flip the screen, Fiona? You know, Philip stepped out of his comfort zone and embraced being awkward and uncomfortable. As he approached the chariot, he spoke with the eunuch. The truth is, if we stay in our comfort zones, I can guarantee you that the gospel will not be spread, the gospel will not be lived, and the kingdom will not be built. You know, if we don't step out of our comfort zones, we will miss the transformation. We will miss spreading and living the gospel in its fullness. You know, in my journey, I've had many awkward and uncomfortable moments. When I first met Monty, you know, I had to step out of my comfort zone. You know, it was really awkward, you know, walking towards him and uncomfortable trying to make that first conversation. But after that first conversation, you know, a journey happened. Now we're brothers, you know, and now we're trying to live the gospel in our own ways. You know, if you don't step out of your comfort zone, we will miss opportunities like that. And there's a quote, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I fully believe this because I believe this is where the gospel happens. And maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and embrace awkward and uncomfortable moments to spread the gospel. I mean, don't let awkward moments hold you back. Otherwise, I can guarantee you that you miss out. I think another reason why we don't step out of our comfort zone, not just because of awkward and uncomfortable moments. Fiona, can you flip the screen? But because we are going from the known to the unknown. You know, we actually live in a world that can't settle for mystery. We always have to know the answer to things. We have to understand what the plan is going on. We have to know what is happening all the time. You know, we can't settle for mystery. And the unknown is a mystery. To follow Jesus is to step out of your comfort zone, from the known to the unknown. I mean, time and time again, you look in the Bibles, people were going from the known into the unknown to follow Jesus. You know, Jesus' disciples were called to step out of their comfort zones. You know, their jobs, their securities, you know, the things that gave them money and the life that they knew, the known, to follow Jesus' footsteps into the unknown. The reason Jesus' disciples and followers decided to step out is because that they realized that the world is broken and this wasn't okay. You know, it doesn't take a genius to see that the world is still broken here today. You know, there are people killing, you know, people dying, you know, children hurt. Ain't hear them crying. You know, the gospel was saying, you know, Jesus, I am going to follow you. I'm going to step out and follow you. I'm going to follow your way of love to make this broken world into a better place. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's kingdom come, God's will be done. You know, we are participants of the gospel and God is the facilitator. You know, God leads in the unknown and we follow. You know, Philip stepped from the known into the unknown. You know, before that moment, he stepped out towards the chariot. I can guarantee you that there was a lot of mystery of what could have happened as you were starting to approach the chariot. And it was just like the scene from Transformers. When Megan Fox just finds out about the Transformers and what they're about. And at that moment, she's freaking out. She's lost control. And the guy from Transformers goes, 50 years from now, when you're looking back at your life, don't you want to be able to say that you had the guts to get in the car? And at that moment, there was a lot of mystery of what could have happened if she jumped into the car. And I can tell you that there's a lot of mystery stepping from the known to the unknown. You know, Philip took a journey from the known into the unknown. I can bet you that before the moment he approached the chariot, he never thought that he was ever going to preach the gospel to an Ethiopian. He never thought that he was ever going to preach the gospel to an important official in the government. He never thought that he was going to ever preach to a eunuch. He never thought that, you know, because of what he did, the way that he preached the gospel to this man, that the gospel would reach Ethiopia. You know, this is the adventure we have as we follow Jesus from the known to the unknown. It's full of mystery. But also, I like to call it excitement. It's full of excitement. And later on, you know, the scripture, it says that the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And I know it's hard for me to imagine the Holy Spirit physically moving Philip or even someone from one location to another. You know, this is indeed what appears to have happened. And actually, like, I can argue that, you know, God actually flicked his hand. Maybe he didn't, I can say that. Maybe, you know, he would have went, hey, Philip, come here, and just walked them away. We don't know, but the Spirit of God took him away. So it's quite mysterious. But I think, you know, Philip being taken away, you know, this actually symbolizes something. When we follow Jesus from the known to the unknown, I actually believe that God takes us away too. I mean, 6 years ago, I watched my best friend die right in front of me. And at that moment, I never thought I was ever going to make my 21st. I thought that I was going to die because I was caught up in a world of violence or end up in jail. When I followed Jesus from the known into the unknown, you know, 5 years ago, No one ever dreamed about Wilson Chan going to Bible college. And no one ever imagined him using his MMA skills to reach out the gospel to the people in Papatoetoe. You know, 4 years ago, no one ever thought that I was ever going to be a youth worker. 2 years ago, you know, nobody ever thought that I was ever going to work in a church. And last year, you know, no one ever thought I was ever going to be a youth pastor. It's true. Not even I thought I was going to ever do this. But now, I look back and I'm like, wow. You know, God, he literally did take me away. You know, he did take me away to things and places I could never imagine. My hope is that as I continue to follow Jesus from the known into the unknown, that God continues to take me away. Fiona, can you flip the screen? Now, this is the excitement of following Jesus. You know, stepping out from the known into the unknown. You know, God takes us away to do things and see places we could never imagine. You know, isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? And I guess the question is, will you step from the known into the unknown? You know, there's a quote, man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of the shore. And today, you know, it's all about stepping out. To finish off today, I believe that God is very active in this world and in our lives. You know, he is constantly giving us opportunities to share the good news about Jesus and opportunities to live it out. You know, we actually seize these opportunities not by looking at them, but by stepping out. You know, I want to encourage us as a whānau, including me, to be open and available to step out. To step out of our stories, to step out of our comfort zones, to step out from the known into the unknown. And as we step out, let's see the gospel unravel. Let's see the kingdom get built here in Manurewa, here in Auckland, here in New Zealand. You know, we do have to step out to follow Jesus. I want to acknowledge today it is Pentecost Sunday. You know, this was the day that our whakapapa of our Christian faith, where our ancestors received the Holy Spirit, and where our ancestors decided to step out from the known into the unknown, to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, to live out the gospel. You know, because of them stepping out, we're here today. We're here today because 2,000 years ago, they stepped out. I have a friend. He's a chicken, eh? He's a wuss. He was telling me about his bungee jump. He was telling me that as he was standing there, you know, he was so scared, so frightened, so full of fear before the jump. So I actually went to ask him. I just really wanted to mock him and tease him. So I went, "What actually made you jump, you chicken?" And he looked at me and goes, "I took a deep breath and stepped out." And maybe for you to respond today, I can admit that stepping out to preach and to live out the gospel, it is scary, it is risky, it is like a bungee jump, it is full of mystery. You know, maybe you need to do what my friend did before he jumped. You know, physically take a deep breath and step out. And maybe today, you know, you need to take a deep breath and step out as you walk out of the church today. Maybe you need to take a deep breath and step out sometime this week as you talk to someone who really needs a friend. Maybe you need to step out, or take a deep breath and step out before you approach a situation the way that Jesus would. Or maybe you need to take a step out, a deep breath and a step out, when you need to preach or live out the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you know, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that, you know, 2,000 years ago, or even less or more than that, I don't know, that our ancestors, you know, who followed you, they stepped out to preach and live out the gospel. Lord, we thank you that, you know, your gospel is one of love. It is about love. That your gospel is about bringing new life to this earth. Allow us to continue to follow you and step from the known into the unknown. And in those moments, Lord, allow us to embrace those awkward and uncomfortable moments. Lord, you know, we just thank you that each and every one of us here, Lord, we are qualified to preach the gospel. And Lord, as we step out, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. It's a mystery. But Lord, just take us away and allow us to bring your kingdom down. And everybody said, Amen.